Chapter 18, Collections. It would be great if all loans went as planned and all payments came in when they were due, but that doesn't happen in the real world. Bad things happen to good people. Just because a person stops paying you doesn't mean they are a bad person. However, you need to start being concerned when they go dark on you, meaning they stop returning your calls or emails. This is when the real collections start. If you close enough hard money loans from time to time, you will have a borrower that stops paying. As I mentioned before, the most important thing is to maintain contact and get them to try to work with you. Yes, you should have late fees. However, the most important part is protecting your principal. You don't want to make them mad and have them trash the house or just walk away. However, if they do walk away, if you have underwritten the loan correctly, you should make more money than if they had just paid you as agreed. Deed in escrow. When closing your loan, you could simply place a deed in escrow, deeding the property back to you from the borrower. Now, this is more of a psychological strategy than it is a legal one. However, I'm not saying it is illegal. Let me explain. When you close a loan for your borrower, you can simply have the attorney prepare a deed from the borrower back to you and have your borrower sign it. Advise the borrower that if they default, you can simply record the deed and they no longer own the property. This is your way of ensuring that they will pay you, and if they don't, then you are protected. The legal problem is this. If the borrower challenges you in a court of law and the document is presented to the judge may deem the deed as a stale document. In other words, it was signed under different circumstances. It was signed when the loan was made, not to avoid foreclosure after the loan went into default. This is why I suggest using it more of a leverage strategy than a legal one to get the property. If you have your borrower sign it and the attorney uses it to deed the property back to you, as long as the borrower never challenges you, then you would probably be okay. However, I just want to make you aware of what could happen if the borrower does challenge the validity of the deed. Talk to your own attorney before using this or any other strategy in the course. Late payments. As soon as the payment is late, you need to send them a late notice in the mail. Call them and email them the late notice as well. The most important thing is to stay on top of the loan and let the borrower know that you are aware. As mentioned in the servicing section, you should already have called them a few days before the due date of the payment anyway to see how the project is going. If you have done this, then you are probably not surprised if the payment is going to be late, as you would already know about it. I cannot stress enough that you need to stay on top of your loans and the payments. This is how you get your stated rate of return for yourself or your investor that put up the money. So it is very important that the payments come in on time. Skip tracing. There are many different services you can use to find a borrower that has skipped out on you or will not respond to you. The same services you would use to find a tenant that has moved out on you and left owing you money would help you find a borrower that has done the same. Some of the services you can use are listed here. PeopleFinder.com, TLO.com, Experian.com, LexisNexis.com. In addition to using some of the services mentioned above, you can also simply hire a service to find your borrower for you. They will charge you anywhere from $75 to $150 to find your borrower's current contact information. Here are some companies that will perform skip tracing services for you. ACCUTRACINC.com, SkipTracePros.com. There is also software that you can buy that will help you perform skip tracing. However, for no more of them than you will be doing, in my opinion, it is better to just pay someone to find your borrower. It is not a good use of your time to invest in software and learn how to use it or to spend hours trying to track down your borrower when a professional skip tracer can do it in a few minutes. Loan modifications. I'm sure you've heard of a loan modification. With the real estate crash that we went through a while back, I think everyone heard about them in the news. Well, setting up a loan modification is no different than a hard money loan. There are many different ways and reasons you would do a loan modification with your borrower. For example, say your borrower can't sell their property and they need to rent it because the market has turned. Well, now they will be keeping the property for a while, but maybe they cannot get a takeout loan to pay you off. You could modify the loan and turn it into a long-term, fully amortized loan so the borrower can rent it out to make the payments. Another example would be if the borrower falls behind and just can't seem to catch up, but the project is still on track and the borrower thinks they can sell it to pay you off in the next few months. You could modify the loan and include some equity participation and get paid when the property sells instead of foreclosing, then selling it yourself. This way, you still have the borrower in the project, ensuring it gets completed and sold. Loan modification document. It is very simple to write up a loan modification. You can do it or have your attorney or title company do it for you. I think it will mean more if you have them do it instead of you. It just seems more official if they do it. You simply write out the modified terms in detail and have both parties sign it, have it notarized, and record it just like a mortgage. Then the loan is modified to the new terms. Simple as that. Deed in lieu. I mentioned earlier that you can have the borrower sign a deed in advance to hold in escrow in case of default. Well, here I am talking about having the borrower simply sign a deed over to you at the time of default. If you have exhausted all collection methods and the borrower simply can't pay, then you can have them sign a deed in lieu of foreclosure. This simply means that instead of you having to foreclose, the borrower is giving the property back to you. Deed in lieu document. If you do plan to have your borrower give you a deed in lieu, then you must first have your attorney or title company perform a title search to make sure the borrower doesn't have any new liens or judgments against them that may attach to the property. If this is the case, then you cannot get a deed in lieu and will have to go through the foreclosure process to wipe out any liens or judgments. Here is one of our deed in lieu documents we use. Acceleration. Once a loan is in default and you know you will have to foreclose, the first thing you do is to accelerate the loan. You should hire an attorney at this point as they will know exactly what procedure to follow based on state foreclosure laws where the property is located. In this manual, I have included foreclosure laws by state, but this is better left to the professional. The first thing they will do is send the borrower what is called a Notice of Default, or NOD. Once the borrower receives this, they will have a specific number of days to cure the loan, and if they do not, then the foreclosure process will begin. Right to reinstate after acceleration. Most standard mortgages or deeds of trust have a clause giving the borrower the right to reinstate and continue with the loan without foreclosure if they cure a default after the acceleration of the defaulted loan. You can have this removed by either editing your own document or having the attorney remove it from the mortgage or deed of trust they are using, as it does not benefit you as the lender. Foreclosing. When you get to this point, it is just a wait and see approach. Sometimes your borrower will pay you off by getting another loan, or maybe they finally sell the property. Depending on whether the state where the property is located is a judicial or a non-judicial state, the foreclosure process will take a different amount of time. Your attorney can tell you more about this. I've had different attorneys tell me different time frames and costs all on the same loan. So before you start the foreclosure process, check around and look for the best deal. What if they file for bankruptcy? There is a possibility that your borrower could file for bankruptcy and have your property tied up in the bankruptcy for a while. If this happens, you can still get your money, but depending on the type of bankruptcy and how it goes will determine how long it will take. The first thing you need to do if they file for bankruptcy is to hire a good attorney that knows the process. The attorney will represent you in the court proceedings where the judge will determine what will happen in the bankruptcy. There are three different types of bankruptcy, Chapter 7, 11, and 13. Chapter 7 bankruptcy. This one is also called straight bankruptcy, where everything is turned over to the bankruptcy trustee to liquidate any assets and pay off debtors. Since you are making secured loans to an entity, then you should be okay. However, there may be a delay in the process if you have to foreclose. Chapter 11 bankruptcy. Chapter 11 bankruptcy is business restructuring. Once a business entity files, they typically have up to 90 days to come up with a restructure plan. Your first goal should be to get the judge to exclude your loan from the bankruptcy. If this happens, then you can proceed as normal. We had a loan recently where the borrower filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy and our attorney got the loan excluded from the bankruptcy and we reinstated the loan. We had the borrower sign a loan reinstatement letter stating that we were reinstating the loan and they agreed to pay as agreed. Now, if the borrower defaults again, we can simply foreclose and do not have to ask for court approval since the loan was excluded from the bankruptcy. If you cannot get your loan excluded from the bankruptcy, you will have to accept the terms of the bankruptcy and whatever the judge determines that the borrower can pay per month. If this happens, and then the borrower defaults again, they have failed out of bankruptcy, and you can then petition the court to foreclose. Chapter 13 bankruptcy. Chapter 13 bankruptcy is called a wage earner's plan and is for individuals to structure repayment plan to pay their obligations. As long as you are lending to entities as suggested, you shouldn't need to worry about this type. You can also lend to someone who is currently in Chapter 13. However, they must get court approval to take on any additional debt. However, my guess is that if they are currently in bankruptcy, you would not approve their loan anyway. The best way to avoid bankruptcy with a borrower is to only make loans that you feel comfortable with the borrower and their ability to pay you back. I have learned that good borrowers don't go bad overnight, and bad ones don't change their ways all of a sudden, start making all of their payments on time either. Deficiency judgment. An anti-deficiency law is a state statute that prohibits lenders from suing borrowers for deficiencies. The difference between the amount owed on a mortgage and the price at which a house sold for in foreclosure, often on mortgages secured by borrowers' principal residence. Anti-deficiency laws typically provide no protection for second and third mortgages, home equity lines of credit, and mortgages secured by vacation or investment properties. They also do not apply to all states as mentioned. Most states allow lenders to go after borrowers for deficiencies. In most judicial foreclosure states, states where foreclosures go through the court system, lenders can request payment of the deficiency as part of the foreclosure lawsuit. Some judicial foreclosure states require lenders to file a separate lawsuit to recover the deficiency. Most non-judicial foreclosure states, states where the foreclosures don't need to go through the court, require lenders to sue borrowers for the deficiency. So since you have made a loan on an investment property, regardless of the state it is located, once you foreclose and if you sell the property but do not receive enough money to pay back the loan in full, then you can file with the courts for what is called a deficiency judgment. This will allow you to get a judgment against the borrower because of the personal guarantee. This will only work because of two things. One, it is a non-owner-occupied loan. As previously mentioned, owner-occupied loans have special anti-deficiency laws where the lender is not allowed to collect deficiency judgment in some states. Two, your borrower did not use a self-directed retirement account to buy the property and borrow the money. Remember, they do not allow a personal guarantee, and a personal guarantee is required to get a deficiency judgment. Advanced collection strategy. There is a strategy you can use to collect the total amount from the borrower without having to file for a deficiency judgment. you could use a strategy called abandon the collateral and file suit on the note. This basically means that you do not file foreclosure yet, but instead you first file suit on the balance of the note, including any collection or attorney cost. Then, once you have a judgment for the total amount owed, then you can foreclose. Once you foreclose, any proceeds will go to satisfy the judgment. If the property doesn't sell for enough to pay off the judgment, then the balance owed on the judgment remains effective until paid off. Now, this will only work if you have not loaned to them from your or anyone else's self-directed retirement account. We mentioned before that the retirement accounts do not allow personal guarantees, and suing on the note would require a personal guarantee. Tenant-occupied property at foreclosure. The Protecting Tenants at Foreclosure Act, which was enacted in 2009 by Obama, provided protections to tenants in foreclosed properties. The act provided that the purchaser of a foreclosed property, many times a bank, must provide all tenants with at least 90 days notice prior to eviction. It also provided that tenants must be permitted to stay in the residence until the end of the lease, with two exceptions. One, the property is sold after foreclosure to a purchaser who will occupy the property as a primary residence, or two, there is no lease or the lease is terminable at will. Even if the exceptions applied, the tenant had to be given 90 days notice prior to eviction. Earlier, a bill was introduced to enact the Permanently Protecting Tenants at Foreclosure Act, PPTFA. Specifically, the proposed legislation would provide protections under the former act permanent, regardless of when a foreclosure takes place, and would also ensure compliance with the law by creating a private right of action for tenants wrongfully evicted. But the act expired December 31st, 2014, and was not extended by Congress. So what now? The act provided additional protections to tenants. It did not preempt state and local laws governing landlords and tenants. Because it has now expired, tenants are not provided any additional protections in foreclosed property. State law requires a 3-day notice to quit be provided to tenants before eviction proceedings can be commenced in a court of law, and there are no longer additional protections afforded to tenants who lease a home in foreclosure.